Welcome to the Apple Context Machine, a podcast about all things Apple, with your hosts, Jeff Gamet and Brian Chaffin. Today is March 20th, 2010, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 164, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, road warrior.
So, if you're wondering why Brian sounds a little bit different today than he normally does, that's because he really is a road warrior. While I'm sitting in the comfortable confines of the TMO Central Towers in my plush office, Brian is sitting in a car somewhere in the middle of Texas.
I am. I'm actually in a parking lot in Abilene, Texas, on my vacation, because I love you people.
You know, that is incredible dedication, because you really are on your vacation.
I really am on my vacation, but we wanted to make sure that we got some podcasts in this month, since we've been so good for the last, three or four weeks.
Right.
And we wanted to extend that to maybe a couple of months of regular podcasts, and besides, I'm driving. What else have I got to do besides talk?
Yeah, that's a good point. And you have an iPhone, and I have Audio Hijack Pro and Skype, so there we go.
AT&T permitting, here we go.
Yeah, as long as AT&T cooperates, we'll be fine. And
right.
The one thing you usually say, which since you're on the road right now, or in a parking lot in Abilene, Texas, is if you have anything to comment or question on about the show, you can shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com. So there you go. I'm helping out.
Melissa's not here to be with us.
I know. It's kind of sad, but...
It makes me sad on so many levels.
It is. It's like there's this big empty spot in the show.
Oh, in so many ways. Be that as it may, we are going to do things a little bit differently this week. I can't really read a script right now, and we're not going to do the news section of the show. Instead, we're just going to kind of jump into the context machine itself, the context machine from the context machine.
Right. So for those of you that may have heard garbled talk, I mean, more so than normal, the gist of it is we're totally changing up how we're doing the show just for this week, so that we can account for the fact that Brian is driving down the road and can't actually follow along with the script. So we're just kind of mixing it up a little bit.
All righty. So hopefully this doesn't sound too messed from editing, but did lose our connection. Thank you, AT&T. But we are going to skip the news. We're going to jump right into the context machine with a context machine. And if I can start, Jeff, I was privileged to speak at CatBac just a few days ago.
Yes, you were. And for those of you that don't know what CapMac is, it's the Macintosh user group that's in Austin, Texas. And I've spoken there before, too. That is a fantastic group of people.
They've got a great mug. It's run by, it's run by several people, but our own Nancy Graven happens to be the president. And right. I think that their whole crew has done a great job with their special interest groups, getting people involved. And right now, if you're in Austin and you want to join and you don't have a job, you can actually join and not have to worry about paying until you get a job.
You know, I thought that was a really nice thing that they did, because there are a lot of people that are out of work but could still get a lot of benefit. Yeah.
Networking is always good. But, speaking of CatMac was great. And, I mentioned this not just to pimp CatMac, because, mugs are great, or at the very least they can be great. And, if you like doing things on your Mac, with your local mug.
Yeah, I speak at COMUG, the Boulder Macintosh user group, on a very regular basis. Mm-hmm. About a week ago, I went and visited the Mac and Tech user group in Denver, and then the Apple Pie user group in Denver. And that was so cool, getting to see two other groups that are relatively close to where I am, and see the very different ways that they take care of their users compared to other groups that I've been to.
Right.
Yeah. So yes, there are lots of Mac user groups out there, and it's totally worth it to go find one and check it out.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. What's first on our list in terms of the context machine fodder?
Well, I thought we could talk a little bit about Jeremy York. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name.
Well, I don't know either. It could be Jeremy York, but he's called Jerry. Let's just stick with Jerry.
Let's stick with Jerry York.
I always call him Jerome, but you just pointed out that I may have been wrong all these years.
And well, who knows which one of us? Well, someone knows which one of us is right, but. Either way, Jerry York, unfortunately, he passed away this past week after suffering from an aneurysm. So if you're not familiar with who Jeremy York was, he was one of the directors on Apple's board. And during that time, he was also serving with some other companies, too. He had an interesting history. He was very prominent in the automotive industry, and he helped turn around the big car companies back when there was the automotive crisis, not the automotive crisis we're having now, the one before that. He's served.
He was also one of Kurt Gordon's proteges.
Yes, he was. And he was also CFO for IBM. He graduated from MIT.
And he was GM, I think, of GM. I'm sorry, GM. He was the CEO of GM. And he was either ousted or he left because of he thought that the culture there was a little too entrenched.
Right. So the point is, he's had quite an illustrious career. He's been very important in a lot of businesses or in a lot of companies, and not the least of which was Apple. And based on what Steve Jobs was saying, it looks like he will be missed dearly as one of the board members. And this was completely
unexpected. Yeah, I know Steve Jobs thought very highly of him.
Yes. And
was he the one holdover that he didn't fire when he got back? Was he the first guy that he brought on after he fired everybody else?
Let's see. Well, he came on in 1997, and that's about the same time Steve Jobs came back, right?
Well, if I remember correctly, and please, folks, forgive me. I honestly swear I've been on vacation and I didn't have time to research all this stuff. But as I remember, when Steve came back, he basically gave, you can't fire a board. The board is actually supposed to be unfireable. However, I think that he gave the board the option to leave if they wanted him to stay. And he only kept like one person from the previous board. So like Ace Markula, Mark Markula, or I should say Mark, quote unquote, Ace Markula, was ousted. He was the co-founder of Apple that helped usher Apple through. Or he's not really a co-founder. He was the guy that helped turn Apple into an actual corporation. It had been the power behind the throne for 25 years. So Steve ousted him, and ousted pretty much everybody else. And if I remember correctly, he only really kept one guy, and he brought in, I think initially he brought in three other people, and I think that Jerry York was one of them.
Yeah, and so Jerry was on the board pretty much since Steve Jobs came back to Apple.
And yes.
So he was there and instrumental in the whole process from the time Apple was at what many considered its darkest hour up through now, where it's just an amazingly big company making products that are far better than they were making back then.
Right. And I know he and Steve were pretty close, and I certainly appreciated the fact that Apple dedicated their homepage to him when he died.
Yeah, that was a very nice touch. And I heard a few people say, oh, well, Apple's trying to take advantage of this horrible tragedy. And I'm thinking, no, I have a feeling
who
that
said
when
that?
You know how some people...
I want names.
All right, I'll have to go digging through my Twitter stream and find them for you. But believe it or not, there's some people out there that were so callous that they really thought that this was a publicity ploy on Apple's part and not a genuine tribute to a very
Apple
important man.
Apple does tributes like that all the time.
Right.
Well, yeah. When you keep people that are important to Steve or important to Apple, and maybe it's just important to Steve, but Apple, no, I say all the time, but Apple has done this sort of thing in the past whenever key people at Apple have passed away.
Right. And I think it was a very nice tribute to Mr. York and a nice little gesture for his family.
Right. And what kind of PR? I mean, that's like the worst stunt ever. What are they going to gain from that? That's PR
flame
stunt
bait.
Still, if that's supposed to be a PR stunt.
Yeah. So there was no PR stunt going on here. I'm absolutely certain of it. So this is a call to action for our listeners. If you know anyone that was being a jerk and saying that Apple was doing this just because they thought it'd be a good publicity stunt, tell them I'm looking for them.
Yeah, me too. And I'm driving across country, so I'm driving through their town.
Yeah, that's right. So
I will stop in.
So all you jerks out there, you better be careful because Brian's looking for you now.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So on a serious note, though, who do you think might replace him, or who do you think that Apple might bring in to replace him? I should say.
You know, I've been thinking about that, and I'm not sure actually.
So let's look at, because I don't know either. I mean, I don't know. I honestly have no idea. The last person they brought in, which was Andrea Young, who is the CEO of Avon. And she was brought in for her marketing expertise.
Right.
And, you know, that was, like, totally out of left field to me. But you know, let's put this in context, because Apple has gotten some criticism from the politically correct sections of the world for having a very white male-ish board. I remember actually one of my favorite things was when Jesse Jackson criticized Apple for, you know, having an all-white board, when of course they actually had a Chinese American on the board. Hello, Jesse, wake up. But be that as it may, Andrea Young is, I believe, helped bring a little bit of color to the board. And I wonder if I actually don't think that Apple was trying to quota its way with its board choices. But at the same time, I wonder if that sort of criticism hasn't had an impact.
Well, then why don't they give Spike Lee a call?
Yeah, Spike Lee, well, I don't know.
Entertainment industry, that's a big part of what Apple is involved in now. And yeah.
All right, fair enough.
And, of course, I was thinking they were actually going to be calling you.
Yes, I'm afraid that the boardroom doesn't have enough room for my throne judgment.
You know, they can always knock down a wall. That's okay.
But, you know, getting it off that mountaintop, you know, it's just, I don't know, it'd be a pain. But I don't know of any, you know, like, people like, you know, Steve's friends can't be on the board because there is increased scrutiny over boards that are basically too tightly.
Right.
You know, people that aren't going to do oversight. Because remember, what a board basically serves two functions, one oversight and one advisory. So they're supposed to basically keep an eye on what the CEO is doing. They don't have any direct power, but they have the power to change the CEO.
And that's a big chunk of power.
Yeah, that's huge. That's absolutely huge. And they also serve in an advisory capacity. That's what Al Gore does. That's what the they all do that. And I don't know what Apple, I don't know what skills that Jerry had, that Mr. York had, I should say, that Apple's going to look to replace, or what they might actually look to expand upon?
You know, I would venture to say that at this point, they would probably look to expand more than simply replace, because many of the skills that Mr. York brought to the table were critical for that window of time when Apple needed to really get things turned around and get back on the right track.
Right. And he did, of course, such a great job that he continued to serve. Hey, I know. Maybe they're going to bring, I'm going to mess up my own joke, Jeff, because I can't remember his name. Sergey from Google.
I can totally see that happening in Bizarro world.
If you went to joke school, I would use my whole setup and delivery there as an example of how not to tell a joke.
You know, and they would use me as an example of exactly who you want in your audience, because apparently I'll laugh at anything, including an improperly set up joke.
Okay, folks, sorry about that. We've had another couple of drop connections with AT&T. Thank you. We were joking about Sergey Brin joining the Apple board, and it was really funny until we dropped out. And I did come up with another name. While I was waiting for you to call me back, Jeff, I came up with another name for someone who could join the board.
Oh, do tell.
Michael Dell.
You know, that would be great. Except the problem is, he'd give all the money back to the shareholders.
All right. So, long story short, I think that they will add someone on to replace Mr. York. And I don't think they're going to just, like, leave that seat vacant or take away that seat. And I agree with you that they're going to be looking for some people to, you know, some people with maybe a new set of skills to address some issues for Apple's current rate. Maybe in entertainment, I think you mentioned that. So maybe some kind of entertainment person. Maybe someone with mobile phone experience. Does Apple have any companies with which it is not at war in the mobile phone industry right now?
You know, I think they're pretty much fighting everyone in the mobile industry right now. You know, they could always go back to Palm, and I hear that their management is doing great with that company.
Get Mr. Rubenstein back on the board.
Yeah.
All right, I've got it. You're just gonna think I'm the coolest guy ever, because I'm going to segue into our next subject by suggesting that Apple test Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, that's very nice. That's an excellent, excellent segue. Go you.
It's an excellent segue, but it's also an interesting idea. The notion of bringing on someone with, you know, all this expertise, for good or for ill, in the publishing world, that could probably be someone that would behoove Apple to have. You know, to be able to help open doors. Although I don't know if Murdoch has a history of opening doors, except for the sledgehammer.
He's not the big door opener.
Oh, but, well, maybe with battering ram. And I'd also like to let our listeners know that it's snowing.
Wow. Okay. So you're in Abilene, Texas on a Saturday afternoon, and it's snowing.
And the wind is blowing hard enough for the snow to go sideways, and yet I am podcasting for you folks.
You know, you are such a trooper.
And I'm getting dirty looks from some of the local hicks.
What's your hair look like today?
It's pretty big and rock and roll.
Okay, that might be where some of the looks are coming from.
Oh, I'm sure. It's okay. So, Rupert Murdoch, someone from the publishing industry could be key to Apple. Although, I don't know how long they'd necessarily be key, but I can't imagine that Steve would want another ego as big as Rupert's in the room with him, someone that could actually compete with him and not take his crap. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's a good point. Now, just because someone has a big ego, though, doesn't mean that they won't be able to fit well with the board. Now, that said, Rupert Murdoch may not be able to fit well with the board.
Well, Rupert and Steve are cut from, it's not cut from the same bolt of cloth. They're at least cut from cloths that were stored next to each other for a long time in the warehouse.
Okay, yeah.
How's that bird extended before? You know, Rupert absolutely knows that his way is the best, and that it's his way or the highway, and that pretty much describes Steve to a T also.
Yeah, okay, so even though he might be able to bring some interesting things to the board, he may not be a good fit, because if he's going to be fighting all the time with Steve, that's not going to be productive.
Right. Steve's not going to tolerate that, and the rest of the board's not going to tolerate that either, because Steve is clearly the best thing for Apple and its shareholders.
Right. So Rupert looks like he's out already.
Yeah, sorry, Rupert.
Yeah, but he did have some interesting things to say about the iPad.
He did. So as I understand it, he said that he thinks that basically all media is going to be coming to the iPad. And since we didn't do a news section, I thought maybe you could read that really interesting quote from him.
Okay, so here's a quote from an interview that Rupert Murdoch just did with the Fox Business Channel. What he said was, all media is going to go into the iPad, whether it's music or books or newspapers or movies, you'll be able to get it on your iPad. And then he went on to say also that there will be other iPads. So he's looking at the iPad as the beginning of a new media system, and that other companies will be creating their own iPad-like tablet devices that will fit into that category. But it starts with the iPad.
Well, and to me, what that means is that Rupert has either come to grips or actually come to a deal with Apple to bring some or all of its properties to the iPad.
Right, and we already know there's a lot of companies that are excited about bringing their products to the iPad, and if Rupert Murdoch is getting on board, well, that's kind of a big thing.
Yeah, and that's gonna make sure that everybody else is gonna follow close behind. You know, we're talking about Dow Jones Wire Service. We're talking about the Wall Street Journal. We're talking about I know he owns some other newspapers via the New York Post,
right?
Such as it is. But he, of course, there's also his various TV and cable networks and channels. You know, and he's saying that everything's coming. So that means that he is either aware of or, you know, has approved plans to even bring some of that stuff to the iPad.
Yeah, I can't imagine him specifically listing things like movies if he didn't have plans or had already reached an agreement with Apple.
Right, and so that, you know, that means 20th Century Fox as well as all of its various subsidiaries and other brands.
Yeah, so it looks to me like this is a very big thing for the media distributors. They're looking to the iPad as a whole new platform for them to deliver content.
Right, and that is important, Jeff, but I think we should stress that him saying this, I think, is the most important aspect of him saying this publicly and singling out the iPad, even if he says other devices will come too, that what that means is that behind the scenes, talks or agreements are in an advanced state.
Right.
And that actually is important because we've only had a handful of publications that have announced specific plans to be on the iPad. Everyone's talking about it. We already knew that Apple was talking to everybody and the brother. But only a few have committed to doing so. What Rupert has basically effectively said is that his media empire is on the path to doing this too.
Right, and he also, in another quote from that same interview, he, I think, kind of tipped his hand a little bit and said something that should make other news companies get a little bit worried. Because what he said was, if you see a newspaper photograph, not at the moment, but in time it will happen, you'll be able to touch it and it will become a video.
Right.
And so if he said that, what that tells me is he already has his people working on making that happen, which means that he's setting a standard for all the newspapers, which is your newspapers for devices like the iPad must be true multimedia.
Jeff, what does that say about the future of photojournalism?
You know, I still see a very strong future for photojournalism as long as it adapts to this new technology. So maybe instead of having simply a static image or a still frame from a video, you have a series of photographs that become a slideshow for an event.
That not necessarily concerns me, because these things are, of course, bound to change one way or another. So I don't know that I could classify it as concern, but the role of the photograph, capturing that snapshot in time, that, you know, when you capture, like, the photograph of the Vietnam War of the Buddhist monk that burned himself.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's an iconic photo.
It is such a stunningly compelling photograph. I mean, it bring, almost brings a tear to my eye just even thinking about it, and I haven't seen it in years. And, you know, it wouldn't have, I don't think, that same impact. Matter of fact, I don't even think people could watch it if it was a movie of the guy burning.
Right. Right.
Sorry, folks, I know this is, I think, I'm not trying to, like, you know, freak anyone out or gross anyone out talking about this sort of thing, but I actually, you know, think it's the issue of where we go with journalism is always an important one, and I can't see the photograph going away entirely, not for print publications at the very least.
No, and you know, there's, but like I said, you could also do photo slideshows as part of a news story. You could also have that still photo as the photo you see in a news story. But then when you tap it, then you get alternate content. And maybe it's a video of experts talking about whatever it is that the photo represents.
Sure. That's clever.
Hey,
that's
thanks.
Clever, Jeff.
Yeah, and that will never make me money, that idea, because someone else is going to do it and not send me royalties.
Old bastards.
Oh, I shake my fist at them.
All right, so we've got one more topic, kind of more of a fun topic, but we should probably talk about our sponsor this week, Smile on My Mac first.
We should, and since you've been on vacation, are you aware that Smile on My Mac just released Text Expander 3?
Well, I know, Jeff. I'm not. Tell me about it. By which I mean, yes, I did catch the fact that Text Expander 3 was released.
Okay.
But I had, you know, I had to play a boy.
And you played the part so well. Your Academy Award is in the mail.
Excellent. Yes, excellent. All shall bow before my acting prowess.
Yes, I'm sure everyone is bowing right now. It might be so they can wipe the tears from their eyes. I don't know. But anyhow, Text Expander 3 just came out, and since Smile on My Mac is our sponsor this week, it seems totally appropriate to talk about this new application. Now, if you're not familiar with what Text Expander is, it's an application that lets you type little abbreviations, and they can be abbreviations that you make up. And then when you type that, Text Expander sees it, and then expands it out to whatever the full text is that you want that little snippet to represent.
It's great for things you use all the time, like a closing email signature, or addresses that you don't use all the time, or, you know, greeting, or, you know, any kind of string of text that you're using all the time. That's where you're going to use this.
Right, and that's exactly how I use this. Every time I need to send someone all of my contact information, I have a little abbreviation I type, and it automatically adds that to the document, to the email, whatever it is. And it's great because it's instant. I don't have to type all that information, and there won't be any typos because It's just dropping that text in. And
right.
And sometimes I need to type in a URL that has one specific piece that's different. So I can just copy the piece that's different, type whatever my little snippet is, and then it builds the rest of the URL around whatever I have in my clipboard.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's very handy. So now with Text Expander 3 out, they've made some changes that are important to know about because they're pretty significant. Text Expander 3 is actually an application instead of a system preference pane, which I find to be very nice. That means I can instantly get into the application because it's just running, as opposed to having to go through the horrible wait period as system preferences launches so that I can get to the preference pane. They also added a quick entry window that lets you create and edit the snippets that you're using, which is really nice because if you need to fine-tune a snippet that, like maybe you try something and go, oh, I need to move where the extra text goes in. With that quick entry and quick edit window, you can just jump right into that, make your changes. It saves a lot of time. And they also added it as...
Do you have to have Text Expander running as a standalone app in order for it to be used, or does it still have some kind of extension that runs in the background?
Yeah, it has to be running all the time now.
Okay.
Which I think I prefer it that way because that means it's not doing anything deep at the system level that could mess up other things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's usually for the best.
Yeah.
Although, that said, I do trust the folks at Smile to do that right.
I trust them too. They are incredible coders and they just blow me away with the stuff they do. So, all right. So one other feature I want to highlight. It now has a fill-in-the-blank snippet option, which means you can invoke a snippet so that it comes up and then stops and waits for you to enter a piece of information. So like if you're doing a form letter and you want to just type in names as you're going along, you can do that. And you can have multiple blanks, in essence, that you need to fill in a single snippet. So like if you're doing something where you're sending out thank you notes, you could invoke your snippet and type in the person's name, and then it pauses and waits for you to type in whatever it was that they gave you. Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting, Jeff.
Yeah, and see, that's a nice thing, because if this is something you have to do all the time,
right,
and it's not something that you need to have, say, like a whole database with Apple scripts and things merging stuff together.
Right.
This is a very cool and easy way to address that sort of form letter thing.
Right. That makes sense. So what's the price tag?
Let's see. Text Expander is going to cost you, let's see, the upgrade is $15 if you already have it. And the full price, I need to double check it because I think it's $29, but I don't want to steer our listeners wrong.
It might even be on our special page. If it's not yet, it soon will be.
Right. So, yeah, so you can always check our page, which is, what is it?
SmileOnMac.com/Apple Weekly.
Thank you. You know
check
why?
That just to make sure.
You know why I can't find it? Because I just typed slime on my Mac.
That's a TV show that's produced out of Canada.
Yeah.
It's a totally different show. And it's really messy. And yeah.
Yeah, I was off by $5. It's $34.95 if you haven't purchased it already. And then we have our own special webpage at the Smile on My Mac website, and it's smileonmymac.com/AWR. Yeah, so check out the website, smileonmymac.com/AWR, and they're always doing different specials there just for our listeners.
Yep, and that lets them know that we sent you to.
And they're awesome people, so go check out their software.
Alrighty, so the last fun thing that we had to talk about is, fun, amusing at the very least, possibly interesting, is a new TV show.
Oh, that's right. There's a new TV show that's been approved, And it involves the same guy that did the fake Steve Jobs stuff, which is Dan Lyons.
Right, right.
And the show's called Icon. That's lowercase I, uppercase C-O-N. And the premise of the show is that it follows the life of a fictional Silicon Valley CEO whose ego is a study in power and greed.
Named Steve Jobs?
Yeah.
Or are they just going to go ahead and call him fake Steve Jobs?
They should. right now, the main character is called Tom Rhodes.
You're going to get special visits from his friend. Hi, I'm Steve Ballmer.
Yeah, and occasionally he'll go and have lunch with his old friend that doesn't work with him anymore, Tom Spozniak.
Tom Spozniak, who actually, what I would love to see. We are gathered here today. I'd love to see Bill Gates have. So I got what could we call him? We could call him Jim Taint, and he could be like the secretary. Steve, I have a phone call. Actually, I'll get my Ballmers and my Gates impression mixed up because they actually look so closely together.
You know, I thought the only difference was your posture.
My hate thing always starts with, we are gathered today to talk about, because it's a little bit more in the back of the throat, and, you know, that's sort of the thing that he likes to talk about, whereas Ballmer is sort of a, you know what, I don't really think it's a little louder, not quite so much in the back of the throat.
So you can lean back for Gates, lean forward for Ballmer. It is all about the posture.
So what I'm interested to know is Icon with a little I in the capital C is the name of an actual unauthorized biography about Steve Jobs. Who wrote that real quick? I forget the guy's name.
I'm looking it up right now. It's now, as I recall, the book was it was from Wiley Press.
Yeah, I believe it was from Wiley, and it's the book that got them banned from Apple stores because Apple didn't want them publishing this unauthorized biography, or Steve didn't want, someone at Apple didn't want them publishing.
Right. So the book is called Icon Steve Jobs, The Greatest Second Act in the History of Business, and it's by Jeffrey Young and William Simon.
Okay, so Jeffrey Young, that's the guy I was thinking about, and... thanks for looking that up. So,
sure.
He had done a biography about Steve Jobs, and I don't think that one was called Icon, of course, but it basically was Steve's career through life and career through what he's still at Next. And Icon came out earlier this decade, and it was basically the same material, but expanded to include his incredible success when coming back to Apple.
Right.
So, and then, of course, Apple or Steve or both didn't want to publish for whatever reason, and they didn't want these books and everything. But I don't know. I mean, this new project has licensed that name, but I'm really surprised that they're making a TV show that is, you know, sort of going to be based around Steve Jobs using the same name when that's already out there in trademarks and everything.
You know, it's very possible that the name will change before the series actually comes out, because it's not right. Like they have any episodes in the can yet.
Right. That's true. But I think it's going to be a fun show because Dan Lyons, I mean, not that he's going to be like the head writer. I don't know. Maybe he will be the head writer, but he's not going to write everything, but he's a funny man.
He is. You know, I think when he was doing his Steve Jobs or his fake Steve Jobs stuff, before we knew who he was, it was absolutely brilliant. And since then, he's done a lot of funny things with it still. So having him attached to the project, I think, will probably be a good thing, especially because he can bring that insight that a lot of other writers wouldn't be able to bring to a show like that.
Right. And he's a journalist. He's been covering Silicon Valley for a long time, but clearly his writing skills are, you know, broader than just being able to write an editorial or a news piece. And so I think it could be a fun piece. I think that, that you know, we may end up seeing for the first time outside of Saturday Night Live a comedy that's actually reflecting the current goings on in the tech world, which is one of the most important industries to our modern life.
Yeah, I find it interesting that that we don't see a lot of that already. I mean, well, we have Big Bang Theory, which is a brilliant show.
Right.
But we don't have anything that really takes a look at or pokes fun at the whole high-tech world.
Right.
And right. So maybe now we will.
Steve Jobs, I mean, hopefully he'll have a sense of humor about it. He won't try to block us. I mean, you know, the guy's, you know, the guy's name is not Sleeve Bob's. That's probably a good thing. By the way, I wonder what my character, because I'm sure I'll probably be a you know, really important, both of us will probably be really important parts of the show. So I'll know what our characters will be called.
I can't wait to hear. And I also can't wait to see who they have playing us. I hear they've already tapped Robert Downey Jr. for your character.
Oh, wow. That'd be so cool. I think your character's probably going to be named Miss Janet.
You kind of faded out. What name did you come up with?
Biff Janik.
Biff Janik?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And what? I guess Brad Pitt will end up having to play that role.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Of course. You know, it's cool. Robert Downey Jr. already knows how to grow the facial hair I have. So, you know, that would be a good choice. That would be a good choice.
Yeah, it'd be like cast typing. Or right. Typecasting. Excuse
me. You know, I wonder. This is so ridiculous. I wonder if, you know, this is really, you know, if you know, what's the guy's name again, the character's name?
Tom Rhodes.
I wonder if Tom Rhodes is going to be working at a company like Mapple, or if, which is what The Simpsons used, or, you know, right. If it's just going to be sort of a generic electronics company or something. You know, I wonder how much really Apple-centric it's going to be. Or you know, how much it's going to just be more like, you know, like that piece that Dan Lyons wrote about you know, corporate America being full of being run by accountants.
Right.
You know, is it going to be that sort of thing where this guy, you know, knows what he's doing, and everybody else is a bozo, and you know, and the humor is going to really kind of be more on the philosophical side, or if it's actually going to be mirroring and more closely following Apple itself.
Or maybe it'll be like Extras, but with computers instead of boxes of paper.
I love Extras.
Extras is brilliant.
Funny little fact, man.
Now, and see, the funny
remember
thing
that
is...
Bowie?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Chubby little loser. Yeah.
Chubby little fat man.
That's right. Chubby little fat man. Now, the funny thing is, when I said Extras, I'm totally picturing Extras, but at the same time, I was tossing in some of the other show, the one that they started making in the United States also. The one where it's The Office that they all work in.
Called The Office?
Okay, yeah, The Office. Oh. See, this is why I'm not allowed to be part of the entertainment industry, because I can't remember these show names. So I kind of mixed together Extras and The Office.
Well, you know, Ricky Gervais started both of the English versions.
Yes. Yeah. And
he's a funny man.
Yeah, so that's kind of...
You know, the one with Daniel... Harry Potter, Daniel
Radcliffe.
Thank you. Daniel Radcliffe appearing in Extras as himself, and he unrolled with him. That's just funny, funny, funny stuff.
It's beyond funny. It's absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. All right, well, that's it for the Apple Weekend Media Report.
Yeah, and clearly, I need to bone up on, like, anything involving the entertainment industry. Because I can't remember show names for, you know, for that thing that's about The Office.
What's that show? It's named after the restaurant that West Wild West show. What's that one called? It is a dude. It's all Bonanza.
Yeah, and the other one about when that steamy stuff comes out of the end of your pistol. Yeah.
Actually, I don't know which one you're doing.
Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke. This is weird. Now, see, I need to go with you back to TV school. All right, we have degenerated. Let's turn off because I need to get to Colorado.
Yeah, you definitely do, and we need to get you out of those crazy snowstorms.
Yep. Well, it's not really a snowstorm. I can't claim that. No. Nonetheless, why don't you stick us out because I don't have anything to say.
All right. Okay, so here we go. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to acm@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to Steve Linus.
Yay.
Yes. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. Feel free to follow me. I'm on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/jgamut. And do you want me to do your part, too, since you don't have a script?
Let's see here. I am also on Twitter at Tim O'Brien. That's Brian with Y. And, go ahead and do that.
All right. Our content is written by the good people at Mac Observer. That's us and a bunch of other amazing people. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom. And our occasional Foley mixer is the amazing Melissa. And that's it for this week.
She's a contributor.
She's a Foley contributor?
Yeah, she's not doing the mixing. I'm just saying.
That's true. She doesn't do the mixing.
She's a Foley artist.
Okay, that's right. Our Foley artist is Melissa. Most of our mixing is actually done by Brian.
She's our Foley firearms expert.
She is, and it's an amazing firearm specialist at that.
Amazing recreation. All right, thanks everybody, and have a great week.
That's right. And we'll see you back online at Mac Observer.